නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතු අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස
So do we still have class in the evening, or this is a last, there will be class in the evening? So we will try to finish now the good conditionings of the mind and try to understand them. And if we have some time, then we will mention only briefly, because we have no time to go into detail, what happens with mind when it has not good conditionings, and what kinds of mind appears with not good conditionings. So we have already discussed the minds with good conditionings. I hope you have become to some extent at least familiar with them. What are the minds with good conditionings? In the sphere of cognition dominated by senses in kama vachara plane, you have 8. This kamavachara plane good conditioning is called sobhanachitas, to distinguish them from kusala, for wholesome cognitions. And in the sobhanachitas, which are also called, they are also called maha, we have already explained why, you will find the 8 wholesome cognitions, kusala chittas, now we have already discussed them, so I hope you slowly become familiar with it, you read more. If there is a wholesome cognition, there can be only pleasant feeling, somanasa. Somanasa literally means good mind. Good mind means any, all variants of pleasant feeling. Or in the wholesome cognition, you can also have neutral feeling. So if it is a matter of pleasant feeling, then the wholesome cognitions can happen, as we have pointed out, only in the javana stage of cognition. No other stage of cognition can have wholesome cognition. Only in javana. So please remember it. So if the wholesome cognition appears in javana, what will happen? Then you will have naturally the 7 mental factors which are common to all cognition. I hope you become familiar with them. If the feeling is pleasant, you will certainly have all the pakinakas, because pite will be there. So You will have vitaka, vichara, adimokha, piti, virya, and chanda. Then you will certainly have 19 niyata kusala cetasikas, which we have discussed. Then you can either have, as we have discussed, either have with wisdom or not have with wisdom. So two possibilities. And what wisdom means, we have already discussed. Wisdom means, basically, as it is defined in Abhidhamma, it means penetration into the innate nature of the phenomena. So, the wholesome cognition can have in wholesome cognition in the kamavachara plane can either have or not have wisdom. But all cognitions, all sublime cognitions and lokutara cognition necessarily have wisdom. There is no sublime and cognition or supermundane cognition without wisdom, without penetrating the nature of the things. So when the sublime mind is necessarily wholesome mind. In the northern tradition, in the Vaibhasika, also in the Yogacara Bhumi it is mentioned, there are three kinds of samadhi. You have the impure samadhi, you have the pure samadhi, which is equivalent to our sobhanacitta in the Theravada system, and you have a supermundane samadhi. Supermundane samadhi would be called the kriya. Kriya mahagata citta. So the impure samadhi, what is called impure samadhi, samadhi with desire, with defilements, then in the Theravada system is simply called unwholesome cognition. So there is no question, even when the mind of yogis can become very, very powerful, so powerful, when the yogis, so it is at least believed in India, in this part of the world, people don't believe so much in the power of mind. But in India, it is believed that it is taken for granted by most of the people that the power of mind is unlimited. So, for example, what is today the desert of Rajasthan is believed to be the result of anger of yogis, who got so angry with great powers that he, with a fire casino, he has burned the whole country. So powerful the mind can be. So this kind of cognition, classified in the northern Buddhism as an impure samadhi, would simply be unwholesome cognition in the Theravada system. So you should be aware of the fact that the definition of jhana is Upanijhana, which means contemplating the object from near. Upanidhyā. Or thinking about the object of the near. What it means, we have already explained. It means nothing else than due to the power, the so-called āśraya, the base of the sublime cognition, or āśraya, is citta ekagata, is a one-pointedness of mind. We have already pointed out that the mental factor samadhi exists also in the Vaibhashika system, also in the Theravada system, in each and every moment of cognition. There is no cognition without samadhi. Why? Because we have already discussed that. When there is no this factor of samadhi, the mental factors will not be held together, so the mind will disperse. So there is no question of mental process. But in the wholesome cognition, especially in the sublime cognition, this citta ekagata, the one-pointedness of mind, becomes the base of cognition. When it becomes the base of cognition, then it has power to remove the unwholesome factors. So in all sublime cognition, the samadhi becomes the base of cognition, āśraya. Then, in order to enter the sublime cognition, which we are discussing as the base for our study of Abhidhamma, you need to remove the enemies of sublime cognition. Unless you remove the enemies of the sublime cognition, then there is no question of entering sublime cognition. So the higher the sublime cognition, the jhana cognition, the more purified it will become of the so-called disturbing factors. These disturbing factors are called apalaksha. But so each samadhi, especially in the Vaibhasika Yogacara tradition, is discussed in the terms of āśraya, pratipaksha, and anushaya. And anusamsa. Anusamsa. Āśraya, pratipaksha, anusamsa. So the āśraya, the base of all the sublime conditions which we are discussing, is the wholesome one-pointedness of mind. The wholesome one-pointedness of mind has a ability to become not only the base of a sublime cognition, but also it has ability to burn. In the Visuddhimagga you will find the definition of jhana also burning. It burns the enemies of sublime cognition. That which burns the enemies of sublime cognition and that which cognizes object from the near, that is called jhana, according to Visuddhimagga. So you should understand when you enter the first jhana, cognition, first you have to develop the concentration on the kamavachara plane, the upachara samadhi. When the upachara samadhi has been developed, then there happened the special javana cognition, which we have discussed. I hope you still remember. The parikama, upachara, anuloma, gotrabhu, then jhana. Then what happens? Due to the power of vitaka and vichara, vitaka and vichara in the first jhana are classified as the pratipaksha dhammas. Due to power of vitaka and vichara, due to power of applied and sustained thought, you can remove the five hindrances, finally remove then the five hindrances have been removed. You can also remove, due to the power of applied and sustained thought, the tendency of the mind to turn to the object of the five senses. This is the job of the vitaka and vichara, of the sustained and of the applied and sustained thought. Applied and sustained thought, vitaka and vichara, is discussed in the Abhidhamma. The essence of applied and sustained thought is, according to the Abhidharma Kosha commentary, is the wisdom and will, pragya and chetana. So in the first jhana, the applied thought and sustained thought are, so to say, the fingers of the wisdom, which hold the mind to the desired object of the concentration. So when they have been stabilized, then no way for the mind to turn to the object of the five senses, then this special process of cognition happens. When the mind is blocked from turning towards the object of the five senses, then when this special javana has happened, taking you to the sublime sphere of cognition of the first jhana, then the mind remains continually on the same object and continually with the same number of mental factors. The number of mental factors cannot change for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, as long as you stay in the state of jhana, no question of changing the content of the mind, the formations of the mind. So this is called sublime cognition. And this sublime cognition in the sphere of the first jhana that we have been discussing, in the sublime mind of the is caused especially by, as we have said, by the strengths of applied thought and sustained thought, but also by the continuity of piti, sukha, and ekagata that we have already discussed. Then the ekagata, the one-pointedness of mind, is the base of the first jhana, not only of the first jhana, also of the second, third, fourth, fifth. So the base never changes. As far as you are in the sublime state of mind, the base of cognition remains always same. The one-pointedness of mind. Due to this one-pointedness of mind, strengthened by the pratipaksha and anushamsa dharmas, then the mind does not move. So you should remember, in the first jhana, the pratipaksha dharmas, which make it impossible for the mind to move towards different object of cognition except the symbol, or except the concept. In order to get into the rupavachara cognition, you need a concept. Panyati, like a concept of the breath, that is patibhaga nimitta, the reflex image of the breath, or the kasina. All these are concepts, all the concepts of beings in order to enter the metta jhana or karuna jhana. You need a concept. So this, due to applied thought and sustained thought, this concept that you need for entering the sublime condition of mind cannot change due to the function of the, in first jhana, of the supplied, of the applied thought and sustained thought, as we have discussed. Then the so-called anushamsa dhammas, the anushamsa factors in the first jhana, is then piti and sukha. These are the piti and sukha are the how to best translate of the anusamsa, are the benefits, the benefits of the first jhana. When you have entered the first jhana, what will be your benefit? You will experience a joy and happiness that you have never experienced before. That is why these two factors of piti and sukha are the benefit of the first jhana. Once you have experienced this joy and happiness of the first jhana, then it is very unlikely, when you become familiar with it, that your attachment to the gross objects will stay for long, because you have experienced much more subtle happiness. So the mind may get attached to the gross objects, but it will not like to stay with them because it has experienced much greater happiness, much more subtle happiness. That is why it is said in the suttas that through the practice of the samatha, one reduces tanha, thirst, greed. Through the practice of vipassana, one reduces ignorance. When ignorance and thirst have been reduced, the mind becomes free. And the quality of life will change. Then in the first jhana we have discussed, you will have all these 19 factors of the wholesome mind. You will certainly have wisdom. You cannot have abstinences in the jhana, we have already said. The abstinences belong to the kamavachara plane. Then if you are practicing jhana on the brahmaviharas, then if you are practicing metta, then the metta in the jhana is nothing else, as we have said, than adosa, cetasika, the non-hate. If we will discuss later, because now we are discussing jhanas, now remains only among the wholesome cetasikas, remains only the four illimitables, or the four brahmaviharas. I will discuss them after discussing the jhanas, so that you can be clear. Now we have started discussing the jhanas because it is of importance for you. Many of you are practicing jhanas, so you should be clear. So let's leave for the moment the remaining two wholesome cetasikas, discuss in the Theravada system. Let us discuss the jhanas. So in the first jhana, then you will have all these 19 niyatas, you will definitely have the wisdom, and you can have in addition one of the four brahmaviharas, provided you are practicing the your meditation object is the brahmaviharas. Now you want to go from the first jhana to the second jhana. In order to get from the first jhana to the second jhana, if the jhanas are discussed according to the Abhidhamma model, that means in terms of five jhanas, then you will first have to drop vitaka, the applied thought. Then how will you do it? How will you drop the applied thought? When you have practiced the mastery of the first jhana, it is very important to become firmly established in the mastery of the first jhana, so that whenever you think of the object of the jhana, it is right there. As soon as it appears, you enter the jhana, you decide to stay as long as you like. Then, like an alarm clock, you get out of jhana after the time decided, and then you get out of jhana immediately without waiting, because you have no attachment. And then you investigate, having left the jhana, you investigate in your door of cognition, that is in the bhavanga, flow of mind. You investigate the causes of jhana. In the case of first jhana, the five jhana angas, which we have mentioned. Then, seeing the five jhana angas, you contemplate the disturbing nature of the applied thought. We have already discussed the rasa, the taste of the applied thought, is dragging the mind towards the object and hitting it at the object. For the, in my little experience as the teacher of meditation, if the old vipassana meditators, they start learning jhana and they succeed in jhana immediately, even so, they, for the first time, they experience the sublime thought. Immediately they experience this first jhana as suffering. Varum? Why? Because of this force hitting their mind towards the object. Normally, if you have not practiced vipassana, when you first time experience the jhana, you will just think that there is nothing, there can never be in the world more exciting experience than the first jhana. Because it is for the first time one experience, it is just incredible that such a thing exists. But then, when you have practiced it for a long time, when you have stayed in it a long time, then you will find very clearly this disturbing force of dragging your mind to the object and hitting it at the object. So this force you investigate in the continuity of your mind, when you have succeeded in learning the five masteries of the first jhana, it becomes as easy to investigate the continuity of your mind in bhavanga as snapping fingers. It is very easy. And you see this force, vitaka, is nothing else but the force which is compared in the Abhidhamma commentaries to the or of the cognition. The rudder of the boat of cognition is compared to manasikara, to attention. The oars, how does the boat of our mind move towards the object? It uses two oars. One is chetana and one is applied thought. And the rudder giving direction to the mind is attention. Without attention and without will, the mind cannot move towards the object, so there will be no cognition whatsoever. So the responsibility at moving the mind and giving it direction is with attention, manasikara, or making in the mind, and with will, chetana. Without them, nothing happens. then the other ore, when the sublime cognition has not been highly developed, then in order to go to the object in a normal kamavachara cognition, and or in low in the cognition of the first jhana, you necessarily need, beside the chetana, you need the other ore of applied thought. Otherwise, you will not maintain mind at the desired object. But while in the lower sublime cognition, this is a necessary force which keeps at check the cognition, the tendency to sensual cognition. In the higher sublime cognition, it becomes nuisance. And the vipassakas who have good experience in vipassana, they can discover it immediately. I was very surprised. There came one in Paok. There was one old teacher of the vipassana in the Mahasi tradition. We learned together. And while I was having different experience, he from the very, because I did not practice much vipassana at the time, he from the very beginning, he experienced first jhana as a suffering, because of this, because he was used to seeing the impermanence and all that. So anyway, this is just interesting. So remember, if you want to go to from the lower sublime cognition to the higher sublime cognition, you always have to cognize these and understand these pratipaksha dhammas, these factors of mind which keep you attached to the lower cognition, lower sublime cognition, as new sense. So in the case of, if you want to get from the first jhana to the second jhana, then what is new sense? The applied thought. So when you have contemplated the applied thought as being preventing you from peace, as disturbing your mind, as being prison of peace, as being sickness of mind, then after contemplating in this way and seeing these disadvantages, this disturbing nature of applied thought very clearly, then when you enter the jhana again, you will find it is not there anymore. Then you will be in the second jhana. That means now you will have, instead of five factors of jhana, you will have only four factors of jhana. So that means the applied thought has disappeared. So what do you have to do now? When you calculate, when you do your Abhidhamma mathematics, you will have to deduce from your pakinakas, from your scattered mental factors, you will have to deduce the applied thought. I will not now do for you this Abhidhamma mathematics, otherwise you will get headache. You can study yourself in your book how the 35 Or if you take cognition also as a 34, or if you take cognition also 34, sometimes usually calculate the 34 mental factors in the, or 35 if you take vijnana as a dhamma, then 35 becomes 34. You have to deduce the applied thought. Then you want to go to still higher sublime cognition. Now, according to the Suttanta system, as you know, we have only four jhanas. According to the Abhidhamma system, we have five jhanas. So if you work your way high to the higher and higher sublime cognition, according to the Abhidhamma system, you will have to drop the applied thought and the sustained thought separately. If you work according to the Suttanta system, then you drop them together. It is very easy thing to do because you have seen them in your continuity of mind as disturbing factors. So you can decide by yourself to drop them together or to drop them one by one. It is nothing easier than doing this. If you work your way to the higher sublime cognition according to the Abhidhamma system, you will have to drop them one by one. Now you want to go from the second jhana to the third jhana. So according to the Abhidhamma system, what mental factors do you have in the third jhana? Now you have piti, you have sukha, and you have ekagata. According to the Suttanta system, you have still another dhammas are mentioned, which are adhyatmika pasada and ekodi bhava. This adhyatmika pasada is explained as nothing else. According to the Abhidharma Kosha, this adhyatmika pasada is nothing else but the sadha cetasika. The sadha in the second, due to disappearance of the applied thought and sustained thought, the conviction of the mind towards the object and the clarity of the mind, we have already pointed out that the sadha implies clarity of the mind. It is prasada. It's clarity of the mind due to the disappearance of the applied and sustained thought will be very prominent. And ekodi bhava, naturally, that is nothing else but the samadhi. The samadhi The first jhana is in the suttas described as being vivekaja. Vivekaja means born out of isolation. Isolation from what? Isolation from the object of the kama. Objects of the sensual desires. Vivicha kamehi, vivicha akusalehi, damehi. Huh? One enters the first jhana being isolated from kama. Kama here means nothing else but the kama chanda nivarana, the obstacle of sensual desire. And akusalehi dammehi means nothing else but the other four nivaranas. Being patigha, udacha kukucha, thinamida, and vichikicha. So the first jhana, according to the Abhidhamma system, first and second jhana, happens due to the isolation from the pernicious influences of the five hindrances which drag the mind towards the sensual objects. Now, the second jhana and all the higher jhanas are called all the higher sublime cognitions, according to Abhidhamma, from starting from the third, are said to be not born of isolation, but born of samadhi, samadhija. So this in them, according to the Suttanta system or according to the Northern Abhidhamma, this Pratipaksha Dhamma, in order to enter this higher sublime cognition free from applied and sustained thought, what do you need? Precisely, you need this adhyatmika prasada, the inner composure. Adhyatmika prasada means inner composure. Inner composure is the composure of mind which happens due to stronger concentration and due to deeper understanding, the disappearance of the applied and sustained thought. So now you don't need applied the anymore to bring your mind to the object. You don't need anymore the other or of the applied thought. Now the other cetasikas are so well balanced that they do not need to rely on applied thought and sustained thought. The mind is maintained on the object by the increased power of one-pointedness of mind and by increased wisdom and the subtlety of the will. The more higher the sublime cognition, the more subtle the will also. Then the other dhammas, like the manasikara and so on, they also become more subtle. Not to speak about the piti and sukha, they also become more subtle in the second jhana than in the first jhana. So the factors of mind that allows you to enter this subtle cognition free from applied and sustained thought is an inner composure, this adhyatmika prasada and ekodibhava, the greater ability of the mind for one-pointedness. And also, naturally, the wisdom. Because one-pointedness of mind, as we have already discussed, is the main cause of wisdom. The then you still want to go to the higher sublime cognition. In the Abhidhamma, we have all kinds of divisions of the sublime cognitions. We have Savitaka, Savichara Jhana, we have Avitaka, Savichara Jhana, we have Avitaka, Avichara Jhana, we have Sapitika Jhana, we have Nipitika Jhana. All these, according to the Upaklesa Sutta of the Majjhima Nikaya, the Buddha under the Bodhi tree, he has purified all these jhanas. And having purified them, he has purified his supernatural powers, which he used then for vipassana. To purify these conditionings of jhana is a long, long process. To learn how to enter the jhana and how to remain in the jhana is very easy. But to become the master of the jhanas is one has to practice and study for many, many lives. The Buddha, it is one of the powers of the Buddha, of the 40 special dhammas or the 10 balas of the Buddha, powers of the Buddha, is the absolute mastery of the jhanas and of the samapatis. Not even Moggallana, who could subdue, no one could subdue the dragons with the powers of concentration. Only Moggallana could do it. But even Moggallana, Upananda, very famous story. You know the story of how the Moggallana, but we better now because our time is very wonderful stories you find in Buddhism.
You can give some of it.
The Buddha has requested the Moggallana to subdue one yaka, very powerful yaka, demon. Because he saw that among his disciples there is no one except Moggallana who can do it. And Moggallana, indeed, there was big duel between Moggallana and that yaka, very famous duel. That yaka using all kinds of tricks to subdue Moggallana. But Moggallana finally subdued the Upananda to the astonishment of all. So even the Moggallana is nothing in compared to the power. He is not the master of jhanas and samapatis as far as the fulfillment of parami is concerned. Only the Buddha is the absolute. There is nothing which can compare with Buddha. And this mastery of Buddha in the jhanas, especially came to expression in the Yamaka miracle. Huh? He can produce in Abhidhamma all these special javanas of the supernatural powers are studied. Huh? Normally, as we have said, the javana you will find in your book also, about the Yamaka Pratihara special javanas. Normally the javanas, the process of going through the object, cognizing the object actively, is for 7 or 6 moments of cognition. When the cognition is very weak, when we die or when we lose consciousness, then 5 moments of cognition. But the Buddha could change from the water kasina and fire kasina in even less than 5 moments, even less than the cognition of the dying man, within 3 or 4 moments, he could change from water to fire, so that he could, to all who saw it, he could produce water and fire simultaneously from his body. So much to learn. We want to discuss the process of going to the higher sublime cognitions. You want to go from the 3rd jhana into the 4th jhana. So how will you do? Again, staying in the 3rd jhana for as long time as you desire, having become the master of the 3rd jhana, having practiced the 5 masteries, then after the time you have determined, you get off the 3rd jhana, then you contemplate in the continuity of the mind at the Bhavangadoa. You contemplate the disadvantages of piti. Then you see, we have already said that the manifestation of piti is udagya. It is connected with excitement. And excitement makes the mind not stable. So, having seen this very clearly, then you again enter the jhana and you will find out that the piti has disappeared. So you are in nipitika jhana. According to Abhidhamma system, in the 4th jhana. And which is the pratipaksha, which are the counter dhammas of the 4th jhana, which enable you to leave the joy, the piti. It is nothing else than the sati sampajanya. Due to the increased function of the sati and sampajanya increased function of mindfulness and wisdom, which are the pratipaksha dhammas, you will be able to leave the joy and go into still higher cognition of the fourth jhana. Then the anusamsa dhamma, the benefit of the fourth jhana is this nipitika sukha, the happiness free from joy. This happiness free from joy is much more subtle than the happiness with joy, which one experiences in the lower absorption. So when you calculate your Abhidhamma mental factors, then you have to deduce, now you have to deduce also piti. There is no more piti. So you will get one mental factor less. Then what happens if you want to go still higher into the fifth jhana according to the Abhidhamma system? What will you have to do? You stay in the fourth jhana as long as you wish. Getting out of the fourth jhana, you contemplate the disadvantage of happiness. As long as happiness is there, the mind cannot get a complete stillness. The complete stillness can only come, even so, in the fourth jhana, due to the anisamsa dhammas, which are the sati sampajanya. Sati sampajanya are not mentioned in the suttantas, in the lower jhanas, they are only mentioned in the fourth jhana. Fourth jhana according to the Abhidhamma system. You have to remember, now we are talking in terms of the Abhidhamma system, mixing it with the Suttanta system. So, due to increase sati and sampajanya, due to increase mindfulness and wisdom, you will be able to drop joy. But the mindfulness and the upekha, the tatra majatata upekha, the mindfulness and neutrality of the mind in the sense of detachment, anabhoga, we have discussed the tatra majatata. You should remember the tatra majatata, the neutrality of the mind as being the mental factor present in each and every moment of wholesome cognition. There is no wholesome cognition without detachment, without impartiality of mind, which is called tatra majatata, staying in the middle. Now, in the wholesome cognition, in kamavachara plane, this staying in the middle is not yet a strong factor. It becomes only strong factor in the sublime cognition. And in the sublime cognition, there is no sublime cognition without impartiality of the mind. You should be aware of it. And this impartiality of the mind becomes more and more prominent in each and every step of higher sublime cognition. So it is not mentioned in the Suttanta system, it is not mentioned as a factor of absorption until the fourth jhana of the Abhidhamma system. That means the third jhana of the Suttanta system. Only there the upekkha appears, as we have said that according to the Abhidhamma system in the fourth jhana of the Abhidhamma system, there remain only two dhammas, which are the two, the sukha and the ekagata. All the other jhana angas have disappeared. This is a Abhidhamma analysis. According to the Suttanta analysis in the suttas, which the Abhidhamma also uses, Abhidhamma often can use also the Suttanta method, also the Abhidhamma method, according to the case. So, according to the Suttanta method, in the fourth jhana, you don't have two factors, you have five factors. You have also sati, sampajanya, and upekkha, which have not been strong in the previous absorptions because they were disturbed by piti, by vitaka, vichara. They are there. There is no jhana without sati, sampajanya, upekkha. But they do not become factors of enlightenment because they are disturbed by piti, vitaka, vichara. Now, in the fourth jhana of the Abhidhamma system and the third jhana of the Suttanta system, they become then the factors of absorption because they become very prominent. Before, they were not prominent due to these other factors having prominence. Now they become prominent, but they are not purified. As long as the happiness exists, they can only become purified when the happiness has disappeared. Happiness here has a meaning of pleasant mental feeling, somanasa. As long as pleasant mental feeling is there, the mind cannot have pure staying in the middle, cannot have pure mindfulness. So the pure staying in the middle, the pure impartiality of mind, and the pure mindfulness become the pratipaksha dharmas, the counter dharmas, which remove happiness from the mind. Due to them, you will be able to experience the most perfect rupavachara cognition, most perfect cognition in the sphere dominated by subtle forms, in the sphere of cognition dominated by subtle forms. That is the our fifth jhana according to the Abhidhamma system, the fourth jhana according to the Suttanta system. I hope you can follow me clearly. Is it clear? When not clear, you should ask. It is, in fact, it is very simple. In the suttas, we only speak of the four jhanas. In the Abhidhamma, we speak in terms of five jhanas. In the Abhidhamma, when we discuss the factors of jhana, we speak of the five factors in the first jhana, four factors in the second jhana, vitaka goes away, three sectors in the third jhana, vichara goes away, two factors in the fourth jhana, now only sukha and ekagata remains. And also two factors, same in the fifth jhana, now only upekha and one-pointedness, ekagata, remain. So when you calculate, you make your Abhidhamma mathematics, you calculate accordingly, you drop when you enter, when you speak of the second jhana, then you drop vitaka. When you speak of third jhana, you drop vichara. When you speak of first jhana, you have vitaka vichara. Second jhana, you drop vitaka. Third jhana, you drop vichara. Fourth jhana, you drop piti. So you have to calculate your mental factors accordingly. And in the fourth and fifth jhana, the same number of mental factors. The mental factors do not change. Only the sukha is not there, but there will be asukha, adukha, vedana, the neutral feeling. But the number of mental factors is the same. And you will be able to drop the sukha, as we have said, in virtue of the purified upekha is tatra majatata and purified sati. So according to the Suttanta system, then in the first jhana you find five jhana factors, in the second jhana you find four jhana factors, in the third jhana you find again five jhana factors, you add to those two, you add sati, sampajanya, and upekha. And in the fifth jhana, you have again five mental factors. You have the sati here becomes sati purified. The upekha here becomes upekha purified. and the feeling becomes asukha dukha vedana. And the upekha becomes purified. Upekha is tatra majatata. So these five factors of jhana you will find in the fifth jhana according to the Suttanta system. So now we want to understand the still higher stage of cognition. In the sublime cognition, we want to understand the formless cognition. In the formless cognition, same number of absorptions in the Suttanta system as in Abhidhamma system, they can be only four. In the difference in the number of chetasikas, in the formless cognition, you also necessarily, of course, have the wisdom. You also cannot have the four abstinences. But according to Abhidhamma, you also cannot have the Brahma Viharas. Even though, say, like in Anguttara Nikaya, it is clearly said, and it is experience of the yogis, that you can practice the top of the metta is in the Subha Visuddhi of the Subha Vimoka of the liberation in the pure. The top of the Karuna is in the first Arupa Vachara Jhana. The top of the Mudita is in the second Arupa Vachara Jhana. And the top of the upekha is in the akincha ayatana, in the sphere of nothingness. When you become master of the Brahma Viharas, you can practice them in the Arupa Vacharas. It is a very easy thing to learn, and the yogis who are experienced, they learn it very easily. But yet, according to the Abhidhamma, strictly speaking, that you cannot have the Brahma Viharas in the Arupa Vachara. I don't remember, but you find in Anguttara Nikaya that there is a metta, there is a upekha in metta also. You find it. You can see in the. I think it is in the fourth Nipata, which is the name of the sutta. I don't remember. But I remember clearly reading it. Now, Abhidhamma does not allow the Brahma Viharas in the Arupas. So in the mental factors present in the Arupas, you cannot calculate the Brahma Viharas. So you will have to calculate when you study your book accordingly. It will be explained. Then you can have only 13 the Anyamanya Chetasikas, 7 Sabhachita Sadharana, Among the anyamanyas, you cannot have piti because there is upekha always. So you have to deduce upekha. Then you have the 19 niyatas, which you have in all kusalas. Then you have panya. You cannot have viratis. But while you can have in rupas, you can have the two brahma viharas. We have said that metta is adosa and upekha is tatra majatata, so they are not calculated, but you will have to deduce in arupas the two brahma viharas. So, and how now, what is the difference between the arupas and the rupas? How do you go into the arupas? You contemplate the disadvantages of the rupa being an obstacle to the more appeased cognition. As long as there is a rupa, the mind cannot be completely stilled. Because there is a distinction. As long as there is distinction, the stillness cannot be perfect. So you contemplate the rupa as being a sickness, as being disease. Then if you work according to the Visuddhimagga, you can go to the arupas only from the kasinas. This is the general procedure. But some meditators, they experience of enlarging the even the nimitta of the breath. No problem. But strictly speaking, the normal procedure is from the kasinas. You enlarge your patibhaga nimitta, your reflected image, so that in this reflected image you will have the empty space. Then you reflect on the new sense of rupa perception. Then you direct your mind to this empty space in the reflected image. Then the mind will sink into the space and all the rupa will disappear. So you will be in the first formless absorption. The first formless absorption, as far as the mental factors are concerned, it is exactly the same as the fifth rupa absorption. Nothing changes. Only the concentration becomes deeper. That's all. And there is no more nanata sanya. There is no more perception of differentiation between, say, your reflected image and the rest of this differentiation will be not anymore there. So the perception is completely unified. That is why the concentration becomes deeper. Now you want to go still higher in experiencing still more appeased conditioning of the mind. What will you do? When you have stayed in this absorption into the endless space, when you get out of your absorption into the endless space, you observe, when we have already pointed out and emphasized, when you get out of absorption, what you see is your past mind. You cannot see the present mind. The past mind is which mind? It is a mind which has the endless space as the object. So that mind which has endless space as the object, you make the object of your concentration, and you will enter the second formless absorption, which is the absorption into the endless mind. While endless space is a concept, the endless mind is a real entity, because a mind is a Dhamma, it has its innate nature. So among the objects of sublime thought, you have only the four elements and the endless mind, and neither cognition nor cognitions, which are real objects. The other objects of sublime cognitions are all concepts. You will find in your book also it is written. And because it is not a concept, it is a real Dhamma, the endless mind, then you will get some good insights. Many people get good insights while practicing these arupas. Insights about the nature of the mind. What is the nature of the mind? No nature, depends on the object. When the object unlimited, mind unlimited. When the object limited, the mind limited. When the object changing, mind changing. So it is very useful to practice these formless absorptions. Then you want to go still into the more subtle cognition, more appeased cognition. Our time has passed already. So we will finish quickly so that we can you want to go still more sublime cognition, very easy. What will you do? You having left your absorption, you will remember the concept of the endless space. Then you remember the concept of the endless space in while being in the absorption of the endless cognition, and you will find out that it does not exist. Then you concentrate, because the mind now is very, very subtle, it can work on very, very subtle levels. Then you concentrate on this concept of non-existence. Non-existence of space in the absorption of the endless cognition. When it becomes the object of your cognition, then you are practicing the third formless absorption. Now, the highest subtle cognition in this world, there is no higher. This is the summit of the world as far as perception is concerned. When you, in this cognition of sphere of nothingness, when you have left that cognition and you take the mind which contemplates the sphere of nothingness as object, your cognition will become so subtle that it can neither be described as perception nor non-perception. So this is the most subtle object in this world. And because the nature of mind depends on the nature of the object, so it is also the most subtle mind. So that much for now. And we will have still class in the evening. It's from 7 to... from 8 to 9. Okay. So we will then summarize only give you some general idea about the unwholesome cognitions, how to see them. Wholesome cognition, and that will be it. More, no time to explain. So I hope I have inspired you to study. And your job is to put these things together and get some good grounding.
Akasatta chavumartha deva naga mahidika punyantang anumoditva chiramrakantu loka sasanang. Akasatta chavumartha deva naga mahidika punyantang anumoditva chiramrakantu desanang. Akasatta chavumartha deva naga mahidika punyantang anumoditva chiramrakantu tumamparang.